It's good to be here with you all. We appreciate you having us today. Pray that the Lord would bless our service. I've got some thoughts on my heart, and pray the Lord help me to relay them to you all today. I'd like to turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. I guess for those of you who don't know me, my name is Marvin Moles, and my family and I, we attend Guthrie Congregation in Oklahoma, and we're out visiting with family, and Brother Dan asked if we could come in and be here in his absence today, so we're here. Jeremiah chapter 9, starting at verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So I was thinking about these verses, and he says, if you're going to glory, let it be in me. Or let it be in the fact that you know me, or have an understanding of me, or have a relationship with me. Don't glory in the fact that you're smart, or glory in the fact that you're strong, or glory in the fact that you're rich, but rather glory in the fact that you know the Lord. It's very important for us to be able to say, I know the Lord. I was thinking about it and how many people would like to name drop, you know, people they know. If they know somebody famous or somebody influential, you know, they would maybe want to work that into a conversation somehow, you know. But to know the Lord, why is it significant to want to name drop or to want to say that you know somebody influential or powerful? Is it because you feel like they can do something for you? Is it because you think that in some way that relationship is meaningful for your own success or for your own benefit? Well, the reality is when we know God, we can have those things that the other people were glorying in, whether it be wisdom or might or riches, through Him. We can be eternally rich in the knowledge of the Lord, or we can have strength that surpasses our abilities because of the power that we can receive through God. We can have wisdom like Solomon, and it says he was the wisest man that ever lived. Was it because of his own ability? No, it was because God imparted that to him. And so I just want to get our minds around the idea of knowing God and the importance of it, the significance of it, and why it's beneficial for us to know Him. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 and 4. So this is Paul writing, and for those who don't know, Paul was a Pharisee. He was very religious in the Judea religion, and surpassing many of his equals. He has a pretty long list of attributes that you could give for himself, of successes and why he was successful. And we're going to read some of that. He says in verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. So he's saying that if anybody's going to boast, I can boast too. And I can probably outboast them all. Okay, and he's going to give a little bit of a list. He was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. So he's saying that all those successes, all that list of attributes or whatever that would identify him as a successful person in the Jewish religion, he counts it all as loss for Christ. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So everything that Paul had accumulated, maybe by his own righteousness or his own abilities, he has counted it all but loss for one thing. I'll give it all in. I'll trade it all in. Just pile it all up in front of us here, and I'll give it all to you for one thing. The knowledge of him. To know him. The value in knowing God. I don't know if I can really impart it to you how important it really is. I mean, if you could think of anything that you might need in life, anything that is lacking or that would help fulfill you in some way or get you to a place of peace and contentment, it's in him. It's in knowing God and having a... Let me ask you this. If I was to tell you, I know Donald Trump, would that be true? I know of him. I could recognize his face. I don't know if I'd recognize him on the street or not, right? But I couldn't really say I know him, right? I've never met him. I've never talked to him. I haven't been around him to see his life or to see how he lives. You know what I mean? Just because you even met a person doesn't necessarily mean you know him. There's a lot that you might not know about that person. They may be putting a nice face before you for the moment, but they go on home and they're somebody totally different than who you thought you knew. And so there's more to knowing somebody than just a handshake or being introduced to them, names and so forth. I met a brother today. You know, Dwight is his name, right? But I don't really know him yet. Okay, that would take time, right? We would have to communicate. We would talk with one another. He could share some of his experiences. I could share some of mine, and in that we grow in a relationship where we can one day hopefully say that we know one another. Okay? So let's go to 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 3. Samuel, young boy, his mother prayed earnestly for a son because she did not have a son. She wanted a son very badly, and she prayed earnestly before the Lord and bowed herself before God, humbling herself and crying out in her anguish of a desire to have a son. And the Lord granted her her desire. And one of the things that she said to the Lord, she said, just give me a son and I'll give him back to you. Just let me have a son and I'll dedicate him to you, and he'll stand before you his whole days. Well, the Lord blessed her, and he gave her a son, and that son's name was Samuel. And here we are in chapter 3, verse 1. Samuel is ministering before the Lord because his mother had given him to the work of God, essentially. And so he lived and worked there at the temple or tabernacle. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Okay, so get the picture. Samuel lives there. He's ministering before the Lord, okay? And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So I want to, we'll go on and we'll say, okay, the Lord called Samuel again, and Eli finally realized that the Lord was calling Samuel, and he told him, "Go back, lay down, and when he speaks to you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth,'" right? And the Lord opened his word up to Samuel and began to communicate with Samuel. But what I want to get a hold of here is that Samuel was ministering before the Lord. He was living there, working amongst the tabernacle, providing whatever work or effort they had for him to do. But in that, he still did not know the Lord. Not to the capacity that he could know him anyway. Surely he wasn't there, you know, without any idea of what he was doing or what the purposes of these things were. You know, the lamp that's burning, the bread that they were baking, the incense before the Ark of the Covenant. And, you know, surely he knew that this was about God. But he didn't know the Lord. He didn't have an intimate knowledge of God or a relationship with the Lord. He hadn't yet experienced the Word of God where the Lord was able to speak with him and to commune with him. And I believe that in our lives, there's a lot of people that way. They know God in the sense that they know about a being, a powerful being of some kind that created everything, and he has a lot of rules and stuff, and They maybe have ideas or concepts about God, but they don't really know God. They don't really know Him in a way where, for example, have you ever been in a situation where you were talking with somebody and maybe they started talking about somebody that you knew? Okay? And they're saying things about this person that you know are not right. Why do you know that? Because you know who they're talking about. And apparently you know them better than they know them. And I think a lot of times people do that with God. They'll talk about God and they'll communicate about Him. And basically it's what they believe about God. But because we know the Lord, we can discern and determine that they really don't know Him. Because if you knew God, you wouldn't say that. If you knew the Lord, you wouldn't talk about Him that way, or you wouldn't have that perception about Him. But in knowing the Lord, we gain a better understanding of His personality, the way He is, and the way He conducts Himself, the things that He does. For example, the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they hungered and they began to accuse God that He had brought them out there to starve them. The reason why they did that was because they didn't really know Him. They didn't have that intimate understanding or that knowledge of God that enabled them to know that He wouldn't do that, and that there was a greater purpose in what God was doing. So let's go to John 14. John 14, starting at verse 9, or no, verse 4. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them not to be concerned that he's going away and he's going to prepare a place for them, and where he is, they'll come also, and he's encouraging them. And then in verse 4 he says, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." So he's telling them, where I'm going, you know, and you know how to get there. And Thomas, it says in verse 5, saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" So what Jesus is revealing in this particular passage is the disciples knew Jesus. They followed Jesus. They walked with him for believed to be at least 3 years. They followed him in his ministry. They ate and they drank. They slept together in community or whatever. And they were intimate friends. The Lord had done many miracles in front of them. He had imparted into them special instruction and teaching that not everyone else got. And so they knew a lot already about Jesus, who he was and what he was there to do. If one of them, when asked, "Who do they say that I am?" They said, "Well, one of the prophets, this prophet or that prophet." And he said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter jumped out and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And I bring all that out to show that these men knew Jesus. They knew him. They knew him better than maybe we know one another. They had a relationship with him. But what I want to draw out of this is that they didn't know everything. They didn't have a complete understanding of everything that they could possibly know about Jesus. There was still yet a lot for them to know. And he's telling them, "Have I been so long time with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He's trying to relate some very difficult concepts for them to understand and to grasp and to realize that the Son of God was in their presence. And it's so important for us in our relationship with the Lord to get to know Him as best as we can get to know Him. And the reason I say that is, you know, I've heard people mention, "Why would I read the Bible? I've already read that Bible," right? They've read it all the way through, from cover to cover. You know, why would I need to read the Bible? Well, just because you've read it from cover to cover doesn't mean you know it. It doesn't mean that it's embedded in your heart. It doesn't mean that it's active and living and breathing in your life. I know God. I got saved back when I was 9 years old, you know. I knelt at the altar. I prayed to the Lord. I gave Him my heart. I know God. Is He living and breathing in your life? Is He active in your life? Is He revealing Himself to you And are you revealing yourself to Him? You say, well, what do we need to reveal ourselves to God for? He knows everything. There's a aspect of relationship that when you impart to somebody else something intimate about yourself, it's creating a closeness between you and that person that wouldn't be there otherwise if they just... So, for example, they know already, but you don't know they know. But when you share with them, now you know they know. And it becomes so much more intimate, so more personal and close to have that type of relationship. They knew it already, but it didn't help in your relationship to draw you closer to one another until you knew they knew. And so that's similar to us and God, in that when we open ourselves up to Him, even though He knows a lot of things about us, it's when we are able to confess with our mouths and to acknowledge them before God that it increases our intimacy with Him. Us sharing ourselves, and then He in turn can reveal more of Himself with us. May the Lord help us to know Him, and not just to be satisfied with the level of knowledge we have of Him in this moment of time, but that we would want and have a desire to know Him more, to realize that there's so much more to know about God than what we already know. The disciples had more to learn. They had more to get a hold of, to grasp about God, and they needed to know more. They were about to face some very difficult situations, some very difficult trials in their lives that they would not have been able to successfully gone through and walk through had they not known the Lord. But because they had an intimate knowledge of Him, they had a relationship with Him, they knew Him, that when they found themselves in persecutions and trials and temptations, they were able to face those things and have victory over them because of their knowledge of God. And who He was, and that He hadn't forsaken them. He hadn't left them hanging. He was right there with them, and He was going to walk with them through whatever trial or temptation they had to face. He was right there. And it was because they knew Him and they had faith in Him and were able to put their lives into His hands that He was able to produce victory in their lives through knowing Him. Let's go to 2 Peter. Is there any benefit in knowing the Lord? 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you, how? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace. So, one of the things that grace means is divine influence upon the heart and the reflection in the life. So it's, for example, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, the woman that pressed in to try to get to Jesus, and she reached forth, she said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I know that I'll be healed. And so she presses through just to get to Jesus, and something happened. A special event took place. Jesus said, who touched me? And then the disciples said, there's people are thronging you. Everybody's touching you that's in the near vicinity of you. What do you mean, who touched me? And Jesus said, no, someone has touched me. And He perceived that virtue had gone out of him and touched the woman. And she was made whole from that very moment. That is an example of grace taking place in your life. Is God touching you? His divine influence upon your life. And the reflection in her life was the healing. And the reflection in your life could be a healing as well. A healing of your heart and of your mind. healing of your emotions, a healing of your life. That God can resurrect you, if you will, or make you alive in Christ because of His grace or His divine influence on your life and on your heart. He can touch you by His grace. And how does that happen? Through the knowledge of Him. We get to know Him. We get to believe. You know, we hear the Word of God. We hear people talk about Jesus can deliver you. He can save you. He can do a work in your life. He can restore you. We get a hold of it by faith. And we believe in it. And we say, you know what? I heard about Jesus. I've heard about the things that He's been doing. I've been trying everything else. Nothing has worked. But I know that if I can just get to Him and just barely touch the hem of His garment. It was mentioned in Sunday school, just a small prayer. I don't need a big prayer. I don't need you to give a lot of words about my situation or what needs to be done. Just a small prayer is enough. Just a little touch of His hem is enough. I know that's enough. Because I know His power and His ability and what He can do. And I'm getting a hold of that in faith. And my faith is transmitting into God, and His divine power in my knowledge of Him is able to touch me and do a work in my heart and in my life. It's a divine touch from God because I know Him and I believe in Him and I know He can do it. Grace and peace. You can have peace that surpasses understanding, a calm within yourself through the knowledge of God. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So now here we got another big, what benefit is it to know the Lord? He says, His divine power hath given unto us all things. There's a wealth of things to be obtained that pertain to life and godliness. How do I get that? How do I get that wealth or that benefit from the Lord? It says, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We can get those things through the knowledge of Him by drawing near to Him and seeking His face. He said, if you seek, you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and receive. You ask of those who you believe can give what you're asking. We go to God with requests that we believe He's able to fulfill for us. And our belief in those things is in our knowledge of Him. Because we've learned things about Him and what He's able to do. Maybe we've seen it done in somebody else's life and you see the impact that God has had on their lives and you think, wow, it's an amazing transformation. They're not anything like they used to be. They used to be hateful and mean and they would lie to you at any chance they had. For no reason they would lie about things. But now it's like something is different. They're not the same anymore. And the testimony is that God has changed my life. God has done this. It was by the divine power of God that touched me that made me this way. And that inspires faith in others. It inspires a knowledge about God to them. That they are able to get a hold of that knowledge of God and say, I believe that God did that in them and I believe that He can do it in me. And they begin to seek Him out for that. And God can answer that prayer. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So there's a lot of things in the Scriptures that you can get a hold of and take on for yourself as a promise of God, something that He has declared Himself that He would do. Precious promises. And they're at our disposal. In other words, we can have these promises. They can be alive and working in our lives. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The way that we become like this, or receive that divine nature, or become a partaker of that divine nature, is through the knowledge of God and getting to know Him. When we are able to get a hold of those precious promises that we believe and know, not just believe, but we know that God is able to fulfill these promises. He's able to do what He said He would do. He can accomplish everything that He said He would. If I could just get a hold of it and believe it and know it through the knowledge of Him. Verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to know the Lord, and we want to have an intimate knowledge of Him, He gives us a list here. It says that if we would add faith, virtue, and knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, brotherly kindness, that these things will help us to be fruitful in the knowledge of Him. They'll produce something in our lives. And they'll produce an intimate, more personal relationship with our Lord. Do we know the Lord? Do we know God? I don't think there's any problem in saying, yes, I know the Lord. Yes, I know Jesus Christ. He's touched my heart. He's touched my life. He's done amazing things in my life. Things that far surpassed my comprehension and what I would have believed could have been done. But in saying that, I also know that there's a lot of things I don't know about Him still. There's experiences that I still have not yet experienced in the depths of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, and what He can do in my life. And I want to know Him more. I want to be the woman that's pressing forward just to get a touch of Jesus. But yet I want my pressing in to be for the knowledge of God, to know God more intimately, more personally. Because even today I face things that can be difficult to realize what's going to happen next. Or maybe I have needs before the Lord, and I'm praying and I'm asking the Lord to give instruction or direction or guidance in anything. I know I can get it from Him through the knowledge of Him. Through Him revealing Himself to me and His Word to me. Do I know the Lord? Yes, I do. I know the Lord. But not to the point where I could know Him and the intimacy that I could have with Him. And I believe that God is maturing all of us in that regard, and that He's helping us to grow in our relationship with Him and our intimacy with Him. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians 1 and 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So Paul's prayer for them was that they would be filled with the knowledge of God, and with His wisdom, and with spiritual understanding. Why? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I pray that the Lord would help each one of us to increase in our knowledge of God. And I would want to tell you, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't have a personal relationship with Him, where that He's touched your heart, He's touched your life, and you know that He's active and working in your life, then I suggest that you seek Him out for it. I suggest that you call out to Him and ask Him to open your heart and your mind and allow you to see Him as He is, and to get to know Him and to experience that divine influence on your heart, the power of God that can change lives, that you would be able to know about Him. And not just know about Him, but to know Him personally. That it wouldn't just be what somebody else has said about God, but it would be that you know it yourself because you've experienced a relationship with Him. When somebody tries to tell you, well, God is mean, God is just a bunch of rules, God is just putting you under His thumb. No, you don't know God. You don't even know the God that I serve for you to say that about Him. God is a deliverer. He's a Savior. He's producing beautiful things in the lives of His servants, those who serve Him. He's drawing His people away from the things that would harm them and destroy them. God wants to do wonderful things in our lives. If we can just get to know Him and realize what His plans are and what His thoughts are and what His intentions are, and that He loves us and that He's a God of love and mercy and kindness and grace, and the things that He produces in the lives of His servants is only good. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. I pray the Lord would help me to grow in my knowledge of Him, and I pray that if you don't know the Lord, that you would get to today. Appreciate your time and attention this morning.